Let's do it live. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever in the world you are. Welcome to the Matt Kim Podcast. I am your host, Matt Kim, joined by my co-host, Mr. Peter Saddington.
What's up, guys?
Where is the, well, can we get some burr, 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 burr? There you go, there you go, there you go, there you go. It's an interesting day because finally, actually, I can't say that yet.
Why?
Because we have to kill like the first 60 seconds or 90 seconds before they go and do their thing. So,
do-do-do-do-do. Well, I think it's a great day to be alive. We're glad you guys are here, part of the Free Thinking Army. Smash the like button, leave a comment. We got a Discord channel and a Telegram channel that are live 24/7. So check it out, my friends.
Peter Saddington, best in the game at throwing in the plug. Appreciate you, buddy.
Gotta support this man because he's a broke-ass brother. He needs money, guys.
And we need to say, hit the like, because if you don't ask for people to hit like, apparently people don't hit like.
They don't, and you won't. So we know that from statistics that 17% of you guys smash the like button. It needs to be more than that.
Wow, is that true?
That was an old statistic I ran late months ago.
Nerd.
Yeah. See, I keep a pulse on the Matt Kim Podcast, guys. I'm the nerd, data nerd on the back end looking at these things.
Have we hit 1 minute yet, Will?
We have successfully hit 1 minute.
Good to go.
We're good to go.
We also have
fuck YouTube.
Oh, fuck YouTube. We also have a swag store, guys, by the way. So check it out, Matt Kim.
We are back after 2 weeks of having a strike and being kicked off the platform, and we were not able to upload any videos. So if you're on YouTube and you missed our last recent episode, it's on Spotify, it's on Rumble. We're not going to put it back on YouTube because fuck YouTube.
Yeah, and for those that missed, this was, in my opinion, out of all of the interviews you've done, probably one of the top 10 easily. It was so informative.
For people that don't know, because if you're watching on YouTube, you didn't know this happened.
Yep.
We had an interview with Dr. Peter McCullough, The episode was taken down for medical misinformation.
So medical misinformation is just a fancy way of saying we don't like the narrative that you're saying, even though it could be factually true.
Well, okay. If you are going to call one of the most researched and published doctors in his field medical misinformation, then you would need to have someone with similar or comparable credentials to judge his work, judge his words, judge what his narrative is, and be able to say, no, that's false.
It's the other Peter, Peter Hotez. You heard of him, right?
Is he working for YouTube? Because if he is, and maybe he chimed in and he said so, then do you know what? He's a cuck, but...
He was like the COVID czar.
At least they got someone to do that.
Fair enough.
If it is some random blue-haired... random kid
sheepdog
saying that Dr. Peter McCullough is misinformation, then fuck you, because how can you make that determination if you're not as accomplished and researched as him?
It's an odd equation, that's for sure.
It shouldn't be legal because he is a medical doctor, something like 700 citations, 17 papers written on the effects of COVID and the vaccine. And to say that someone like him, who is literally the most qualified person in the world to talk about this topic, to say that this guy is medical misinformation, who's making that decision?
And it, in some kind of sick way, it actually validates that you're doing the right thing because you're interviewing the people that clearly the powers that be at YouTube will say, enough's enough, we can't have this guy. So if anything, it's kind of a vindication that you're talking to the right people.
And if you missed the interview, it is still on Rumble, it is still on X, and it is still on Spotify because they decided that they're not going to be authoritarian censors of our speech.
Yes.
So if you want to go check it out, definitely go check it out. If you are interested in anything that he says, definitely go check out the link within those. We have a promo code that saves you, I don't know, 10% or 15%, something like this, on whatever supplements you decide to buy. I've been feeding it to my family, something that we've decided we're going to do because, again, these spike proteins are bad for you, according to the most researched doctor in the world on this topic. And I kind of believe him.
Yeah, so you would say that some of the stuff that you're trying out as an experiment, for sure, is working out for you and your family?
How do you even know?
I guess it's the long-term effects, I suppose.
I'm just going to take his word for it because, again, the most researched doctor in this field.
But I think you also have to extend it because he was also deeply researched before the COVID thing came out. So, I mean, he has a long-time history of qualified research that has been vetted, that has been replicated, which is the most important, because so many scientific experiments these days cannot be replicated. They're just fake. Mm. So he has a huge history beyond that. But obviously, he's most known during this COVID time period, where he was one of the vanguard, really saying, hey, we need to kind of like take a chill on this. We need to pump the brakes a little bit and see what this is all about. So he was certainly one of the first people trumpeting the alternative views and alternative narratives around COVID and lockdown. So I have a lot of respect for him.
And if you are a CommieTube viewer and listener.
CommieTube, is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah. If you are a CommieTube viewer and listener and you're like, damn, we haven't seen you guys in a couple weeks. Mm. Definitely come hang out on Rumble. That's where we've been spending more time, where we will continue to spend more time, because we got a phone call from Rumble themselves, from the top of Rumble, saying that they will protect us, that they are going to help us grow, and that they are for our message of free thinking and questioning of narratives and the ability to have free speech. So if you're on CommieTube, definitely come check us out on Rumble.
That reminds me of what I still call CNN, like Communist News Network, and CBS, Communist Broadcasting System. It's very, very similar. So I have to kind of put you out on blast here, because you said that you've volunteered the information that Rumble, the top brass from Rumble, has contacted you. So is there a contract also?
No contract.
Along with that? Or they're just saying, we're going to support you as best we can?
No contract. However, we have their support.
Okay.
So anytime a platform reaches out directly and they said, when's the last time YouTube reached out? You can't even get a hold of anybody.
Oh, no. There's so many layers of abstraction. There's so many layers of management. You'd never get to anybody at the top.
I appealed our strike and instantly they're like, no, medical misinformation. Like, really? You reviewed it that quickly?
Yeah. You watched the whole thing?
You watched the whole thing. You took notes and you cross-referenced with comparable studies. Is that what you did before you decided that this is not medical misinformation?
AI is the answer. They said, we ran AI on it. It's nice to have someone at the top, Rumble. So props to Rumble Brass. Thanks for doing the good work. Be nice to have protection like that from other platforms like TikTok, wouldn't it be?
Interesting, because almost exactly 3 days after we got our strike on YouTube, and we've been talking about this on this channel, we've been talking about on the podcast, we've been talking on the live streams, that they are coming for us, that we are going to go through a full-on matrix attack, and we've said it. And I almost want to say it may be my fault for signaling it. We talk about things about manifestation of words and ideas,
right?
And I've said it over and over and over again that they're coming.
Yes.
And they came.
Maybe you had a premonition. Maybe you were a soothsayer and fortune teller. Maybe you just knew that the shit that you were talking about was abrasive.
But it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
It's just an exchange of ideas.
I still believe we live in a First Amendment world. Is that true? Where we can say whatever we want. And what's great about the Second Amendment is we have guns to back it up.
Well, fuck YouTube. If you have sensitive ears, you're going to hear a lot of that today.
No salt today, guys. I mean, we're just getting the YouTube reinstated today, and he's already putting them out on blast.
So, 3 days ago, we got banned on TikTok. No explanation. It just happened. And I was actually at the golf course. I was in the car, and I said, I'm going to open up my TikTok and just see what's going on in my TikTok world while I'm driving, because that's what irresponsible people do.
He wasn't driving. He's in his Tesla. So the Tesla's driving him. He's just there being chauffeured around on his TikTok.
Yeah. Drive, car.
Drive, you slave.
Not in my Tesla. My wife drives a Tesla. I opened it up, and instantly I get this message saying that you've been banned from this platform.
Man.
I was like, what the hell?
Emotional.
What a kick in the balls, bro.
And then it said, if you want to appeal, click here. I'm driving. So I'm like, I will appeal and write my long statement when I get home. Of course. I get home and I open my TikTok. I open my TikTok back up. And as soon as I log in, actually, it doesn't let me log in.
Oh.
I just got kicked out of the system altogether.
Oh, they logged you out, dude.
They completely logged me out and they would not let me have access to file an appeal.
Oh, really?
Which was bullshit. So I made a video saying I got kicked off of TikTok, and the people on TikTok that I had engaged with, they all kind of reposted, because I created a secondary account at Free Met Kim, And they all reposted it. They all went on their pages and said, hey, if you're looking for Matt, he got banned. Mm. Here's his new account. And I think I picked up 4,000 or 5,000 followers in one day.
Wow.
That was 100% community effort. So if you're part of that, thank you so much. I appreciate the love, the support, all of it. A day later, we get a call, a mysterious call, mysterious message.
Ooh.
And they said, did you really get banned off TikTok? I can't tell you who it was. And I said, yes. And I said, well, what about this account? There's a scam account out there.
Actually, there's lots. There's tons of scam accounts.
There's like 50.
Yeah.
But there's this one scam account that's picked up a lot of traction. The scam account had 500,000 likes. If he's got 500,000 likes, then if you calculate the 10%, then it's got over 5 million views on that thing.
Ugh, nice.
And when you go into the link, it takes you to a Telegram group. And the Telegram group, they're requesting for money and donations.
Oh, wow.
So people are, there's a scammer out there requesting for donations on my behalf. And someone messaged me on Instagram and said, yeah, I support you monthly. And I said, what are you talking
about? What? Oh, that's sadness. Does that make you feel bad?
That sucks, dude.
That sucks.
And I reported this TikTok over and over again. They refused to do it. Anyway, so I get this message and I was like, yeah. They said, what about this 50,000 follower account?
Mm. Yeah, not me.
And I said, that's not me. That's a scam account. Mm. They said, okay. 4 hours later, I got my account back. They deleted the scam account and all the videos that TikTok deleted within the last 6 weeks, they restored them.
Ooh, nice.
One of them is the one where I say, COVID's like the flu, COVID's like the flu, COVID's like the flu. And that one got deleted off TikTok really fast. And I appealed it and they denied it.
Now it's back?
It's back. And it's at like 300,000 views.
Let's go. Let's go. This might not seem like a big deal to everybody, but I mean, what did you learn from this kind of two-pronged approach? You get kicked off of YouTube for a couple weeks and then you got deplatformed by TikTok, but you had this amazing community that is willing to rise up and speak on your behalf. What would you say you could extract from this idea? Well, is there a model in this somewhere?
I think it's amazing that there are a group of people willing to support one another.
Mm.
I think it's important. I think it's something that we need to expand on and we'll get into it.
Mm.
But I believe it's an idea that if one person goes down, there should be a community effort to get them back on.
Mm.
Because the people that are getting banned off of platforms are the people that are making a difference. If you don't make a difference and all you do is regurgitate left-wing or right-wing talking points, they actually don't touch you.
Mm.
It's the people that actually make a difference, that are speaking to the middle, that are helping them make decisions in their lives.
Mm.
These are the people that are getting canceled.
Right, because if you're on the right or left, you've already been convinced.
Correct.
Right, so they have no need for you anymore. You're the ones that are helping, the ones who are seeking, truth-seeking, seeking knowledge, right? Seeking free thinking, freedom ideas. That's where the troublemakers are. So you're a troublemaker.
Apparently.
Clearly.
But it is very good to see that there are people on the highest levels of society that believe in what we're doing, that are willing to make a phone call on our behalf, that have the power to affect that type of change, which is wild.
It is wild. These organizations are run by humans after all.
And there are free speech advocates on the platform. I think TikTok is going through their own internal civil war and struggle. I think there are people on there that want to be complicit to the establishment narrative and control because they want, and I think they do it because they just want to survive. I think there are people that say, we don't care. We still think that we should let these people have their voice. So I can feel it, that there is an internal struggle within the organization of TikTok, but there are people on that platform that are speaking and working on our behalf.
So
YouTube never reached out.
Yeah. So do you think the internal strife for the
fuck
internal fuck you YouTube, the internal strife and internal struggle that you are kind of feeling from the internals of TikTok, do you feel like TikTok will become a platform for free speech in the future, or do you think it's always going to have this malaise of and this negativity around it, that this is they're pushing trans, they're pushing all these bad ideas to Americans, while in China they have their version, Douyin is promoting education and wanting to become astronauts. So what do you think is going to be the end game for TikTok? Do you think they're going to end up winning the day and becoming a free free speech platform, or do you think they're going to always be part of the push pull of censorship?
I think that TikTok doesn't care what you say or do as a corporation. I think that they are told to remove certain people. I think they are told to remove certain ideas. And I think those people who tell them to remove said ideas want TikTok to push certain narratives. I think they are complicit because they have to be, because they have to survive here. I did a little bit of research into the ownership of TikTok. And actually, China and ByteDance only owns 5% of TikTok. It's not a Chinese-owned company.
Is it owned by men with little hats?
Yes. 5% of TikTok is owned by ByteDance as an original investor / starter. A few of the other founders and executive leadership own something like 10%. The employees of TikTok own 20%. And then 60% is owned by outside institutional money.
Yes. And then outside.
Like BlackRock and Walmart and Susquehanna. So there are, most of TikTok is owned by institutional money.
So if we were to follow that general line then, if it's 60%, let's just say majority shares owned by these large private equity firms, investment funds, these types of things, then TikTok would follow the same vein of the narrative that these types of big organizations want to push, which is destroy America, weaken America, weaken population through social media. Am I wrong?
Except one of their biggest sides is a conservative. One of their funds is a conservative fund.
Oh, really?
Hence, you have their civil war.
So that's the infighting. The infighting is coming from that ideology, the difference of ideology.
My guess. This is totally just guessing at this point.
Fair enough. There's an inkling in me, Matt, that believes that TikTok's not going to survive the long game.
I think they have, number one, the best technology. They have the best algorithm. They have the highest chance of discoverability of any platform. The other tech companies can't figure it out.
Well, let me tell you why. I feel like, Matt, that there's an inkling of, at least I have an inkling in my soul, which believes that Instagram is not going to succeed. And the reason is TikTok's not going to succeed. And the reason is because I've seen so many original TikTok creators like Bella Poarch, like those big TikTokers of back in the early days, who have quit TikTok because the monetization is terrible. I've watched YouTube videos around how bad the monetization is. And so I feel like because the monetization is, they haven't figured it out. There's been this pretty significant exodus of large players moving over to YouTube because the monetization is better. And I almost feel like with all of the negativity, especially in politics and the social scene around TikTok and the bill that they're trying to pass and all this stuff, regardless of the fact that it's not really about TikTok, it's more about social media censorship, I feel like they're just not going to be able to survive the long run. I feel like consumer interest in TikTok is going to die. And I don't know why that is. I just feel like that's where they're headed. So you correct me if I'm wrong.
I think if you're a girl on TikTok that got your views for shaking your ass, like your days are limited anyway. Because how many videos can you possibly make shaking your ass before the guys get sick of you?
Well, OnlyFans, well.
Right?
And frankly, most of these websites these days, like Twitch, like TikTok, like Instagram, are just feeder portals to
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans anyway.
So I think those girls have their days limited, and AI is replicating what they do.
I don't know. There's always going to be a 20-year-old guy who's willing to watch.
Yeah, but even then, their attention spans are so short that you see one girl shake her ass, and then maybe you watch her every day for 3 months, and then you're like, oh, wait, I like this girl. She's hotter. And then you go to somebody else. So I think those people, they're limited anyway. I don't think they're indicative of the platform. I think TikTok has been doing a huge push to get people to be on each video longer. So their push is towards
longer
over 1 minute videos.
Yeah.
And they do really well. So I think that's different. Their live streaming platform is by far the best.
Yeah.
It's better than Twitch. It's better than significantly better than YouTube, better than X, better than Rumble, better than Instagram. Like TikTok is in a league of its own as far as live streaming.
Well, they're leveraging all of their learnings from the Douyin and the Chinese version, where they sell hundreds of millions of product per day.
Yeah.
You know, through integration and through engagement, right, through their live streams. So they've certainly figured that out. I really wonder though. I really wonder if TikTok is going to continue to see success in America, or whether it's...
I think it's to say that if they're going to see success in America is a loaded phrase, because they're an American company. They're 60% owned by American firms, and their servers are in Texas. So they're actually kind of an American company.
I wonder. Short-form content isn't going anywhere. I think it's going to be continue to be the highlight of how people consume content.
Yeah.
But man, I don't know. There's something in my boots, Matt, that feels like TikTok's not going to survive in the long run. But I don't know who would replace them, because I don't use Instagram anymore, because Instagram's just trash. I don't use Threads or Facebook or anything like that. LinkedIn's not meant for that. Twitter is not really, or X is not really that. And YouTube Shorts is not really taking off. From what I've heard, I feel like they've stopped pushing that as much as they used to.
I mean, YouTube Shorts, you can't do over a minute on YouTube Shorts. So that's really short form content. They pay something like 6 cents CPM, while a TikTok, if you do over a minute, pays between $1.20 and $2.
Oh, is that right?
So they pay 200 times what YouTube pays for their short form content.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
I think it's people that can't figure out it. If you're a girl that dances and shakes her ass for TikTok, no one's going to watch you shake your ass for a minute.
Speaking of the AI stuff, dude, like the shit that I'm engaged in, the stuff that I'm experimenting with, I have this, and you can call me on it, that's fine in the future, but I truly believe we're going to live in a future where these young aged influencers shaking their asses on TikTok, they're just going to be AI.
Yeah, I agree. I think,
and it's such a better deal for a consumer. Instead of paying $5 or whatever they pay per month to see this real person on OnlyFans, they can have a digital avatar that is just as beautiful and as real image wise in video, and they can actually tell them to do stuff like do this position or do this thing, and you'll have that ability in the future. So I truly believe that we and AI. Thanks to AI, we are going to truly move, Matt, to a degen society where the people who are willing to pay for OnlyFans in the future for real people, the future is they're going to be paying for AI bots. Well, and it's just going to be a smorgasbord of optionality, right? You can't tell a live person to go suck a toe. But you can,
well, they do.
They do, because there's some degens like that. But if
Will,
you have
suck
your own,
my toe.
Yeah, that's someone's going to clip that shit. But the degens in the future just be like, go suck this gorilla's toe and it'll do it.
I mean, think about it from the advertiser standpoint. You can either advertise with a girl who shakes her ass, who's going to complain, who's going to work a few days a week, who is going to take vacations, who's going to have an issue with maybe the product or whatever else.
Yeah.
You can either do and charge ridiculous amounts of money, and you have to deal with the attitude and everything that comes with, or you could hire an AI bot that has zero complaint, works 24/7,
exactly,
and has zero pushback.
Zero pushback.
If you're an advertiser, why would you go with the real person?
Of course, because all you need is an AI bot with a prompt, and the prompt, you're paying for access to the prompt, and in the prompt you can say, you know, go suck a gorilla's toe, or go jump, you know, go bungee jumping naked. Like, you can do this shit. You could do it now.
Yeah.
And so in the future, the amount of options and features and functions that these sites are going to have. Like, if you're a super progressive, no moral, no ethic engineer in AI, this is what you need to be doing.
I think anyone that runs a compilation page that takes other people's content, I think they're going to be obsolete soon.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone that aggregates content, I think they're going to be done, because it's something that AI can replicate really fast. They just don't do it because it's not as lucrative yet.
Yep.
But as the girl market gets saturated, which eventually it will, then they'll bleed over into other things like these aggregate pages.
Mm.
So if you make your money by promoting other people's ideas, you're going to be obsolete for sure. I think the real value is people who are thought leaders that have original thought of their own. That's something that AI cannot generate.
Mm.
I think it will take those people and those ideas and amplify it even more.
Oh man, you just brought up a question in my gut here, Matt, about thought leadership. Like, you have a large global community.
Mm.
And I know that there's definitely certain areas of your history, your experience, where you could provide thought leadership. But I'm not going to project any of my ideas or assumptions onto you. So my question is
Peter is always leading into something. I'm just curious to see where this goes.
What type of thought leadership would you, the viewer of the Matt Kim Freethinker podcast and Freethinker Army, what would you like to hear from Matt in terms of thought leadership? Because I know the man, and he's got some areas of expertise. So Matt, what would you be willing to share? That is my question. Because you are more than just a guy who asks questions to your bestie friends like Tucker and like, you know, Andrew Tate and hanging out with these big wigs. Like, you're more than just asking questions and seeking knowledge and truth.
I feel like this is something we touched on last week, and if you're on CommyTube, you missed it. If
he's not salty, guys. He's not salty at all.
Fuck YouTube. But something that we kind of discussed in depth last week, which is the idea of purpose.
Mm.
And why are we doing what we're doing? Mm. And I think one of the questions that we had at the end was, can we even make a difference?
Yes.
And I feel like over my last week of recording that episode, that's all I've been thinking about.
Well, yeah.
Purpose, guidance.
If I can pause for just a second and add a little bit of preamble. The Matt Kim podcast is going through not an existential crisis, but the Matt Kim podcast is going through a period of deep introspection. And what I mean by deep introspection is, if I may, Matt, share this publicly, is that the deeper down the rabbit hole that you go, the more of the sludge you're seeing, the more of the backdoor dealing you're seeing, the more of the malfeasance you get to see, the more of the game you get to see. And if I may say, part of being able to see behind that veil has been depressing, been disappointing. And so the question always is are these individuals true to their purpose, to their values, to their principles they so espouse on podcasts and videos, or are they really on the take? Are they really on the payroll of the greater bigwigs or the men or women behind the veil, behind the curtain? And it's not an existential crisis. It's a moment of introspection, because there's an opportunity, and I'm just going to speak plainly. You can cut it off if you want later, but there's an opportunity for the Matt Kim podcast to sell out and to make exorbitant amounts of money. And frankly, because you've seen behind the veil, you know the methods and means in which people are able to take from the man, be on the payroll, and never let their audience know otherwise.
Correct.
And so this is not a moment of moral clarity for Matt Kim and the Matt Kim podcast, but rather a moment of introspection of saying, like, what are we going to need to do to help this program, this vision, this podcast grow, this community of like-minded free thinkers grow, and how do we do it best without selling out and selling our souls? And so that's where I feel, I'm sharing this freely with the audience here, but that's where you've been kind of on this spiritual journey over the last couple of weeks or so. Is that a fair assessment of sorts? Is that a fair context to put in front of our audience?
I think that's the best way to put it.
Mm.
Spiritual journey of introspection.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out purpose, trying to find direction, trying to find guidance. Somehow we've been blessed with this huge opportunity to be able to speak to the world. And what are we going to do with that? We can either, I've been categorizing people into two groups online, people online into two groups. Either you're a content creator, which actually you make content for yourself, for money, power, greed, influence, whatever it may be, but you make content for selfish reasons.
Mm.
You don't care. Mm. It's all about, you're really entertainment. Mm. And then there is the minority few. There's not a lot out there. I've looked, I've dug, I've had conversations. There's a very small minority few that are thought leaders that make content and put their words and ideas out into the world for the benefit of others. And if we wanted to say, hey, we're going to become an entertainment platform, it'd be extremely easy to do. We could make a lot of money doing it. I would say within 2 months, we would be making $500,000 to $1 million a year. That's not a very little amount. That's a lot of money that would cover all of our expense and living, where we could do this full time, enjoy your life, and not really have to deal with any backlash, not have to deal with any, because once you're in the entertainment machine for working for yourself and taking orders for the people in, from the people in charge, your life gets really cush.
It gets cush, and it becomes a machine, right? It just becomes something that's easy to do. And I think, if I may say, from your perspective, I think you've seen, again, behind the veil, and you've seen some people who are on the take, and it's just like, you know, let's just put it this way. It is easy to slide into that type of business decision of saying, you know what, the best way to keep this thing going is just become an entertainment machine.
And you pick a lane.
Yep.
You don't veer too far off the narrative, whichever yep. narrative you choose.
Right.
You can choose your narrative,
right.
but you just can't veer off it.
Yep.
Then ComedyTube will promote you.
Yeah.
The other platforms that have also sold out will promote you.
Yeah.
They will collaborate with you. They will share their audience with you because you're in the take too.
Yeah, because you're in the category of acceptable material to listen and promote.
But if you want to make an impact on the world, if you want to potentially change the direction of society, if your concerns about society are real and not just political, you are on a lonely island.
Yes. So speaking on that, I just have to ask the question because I like listening to these ideas that you have. And the first question that came up was just from your last comment is if you're searching for the deeper and greater purpose to this, and you definitely don't want to sell out your morals, your ethics, your values, and the, let's just say, first principles in which got you here to where you are today. What do you think needs to happen in terms of the content creators like yourself? What is there an organization that needs to happen? Is there a networking that needs to happen? Is there a program or system that needs to happen? What would enable and help these truly what you call thought leaders that are fraction of a percent of the entertainers out there? What do they need to do to help survive the onslaught of censorship in today's economy?
So, glad you asked. Not like I set you up to ask, but thank you for asking. He's so good at this.
Just doing my job, guys. Just doing my job.
Full disclosure, this is something we've been talking about all day. And I've put out there that I've been on this truth hunting mission.
Yeah.
Searching for truth. Searching for purpose. Searching for direction. And reading the tea leaves of why certain things have happened. And the type of people that have reached out at the most opportune time while I'm having these thoughts and considerations. And everything points to one thing, which is, I think, most obvious. We need to build our own network and our own group of people that we trust, that we can associate with, that we feel like have the highest level of integrity, that are God-fearing, that really want the best for not only for this country, but for society and the entire world. And I think we need to build that. And I think it's my role. I think why I've been brought to this position that I am in now is to build this. So we're going to be building out the Free Thinker Army.
You heard it here first, guys. It is not April 1st. It's a little bit past April 1st. But you heard it here first. There is an opportunity brewing. That I think in many ways is an amalgamation of the inputs that you've received, the feedback you received, the journey that you've taken, and the introspection that you've diligenced yourself on. And if I may say, and I just want to add a little bit of weight to this equation, Matt's not sitting here like a bump on a log waiting for input and emails, which, by the way, he gets hundreds of those a day anyway. So Matt actually, and I'm not going to say anything that is inappropriate, but Matt actually is willing to travel to other states, other locations on his own dime to seek wisdom. This is something that you hear only in like biblical times, like prophets of old. They'll go off and they'll go to different countries and they'll go to different places to seek the knowledge and wisdom of greater sages and greater men. And that is something that you don't hear of often in today's world. I remember, if I can just take the stage for a second, when I was growing in my consulting career, I would absolutely and explicitly take trips to different countries to physically shake hands with people who I saw could help elevate me in the consulting world. And I remember my wife just asking me, why are you traveling to this place? Why are you going to see this guy? And the answer was always, this man is far beyond me.
Yeah.
And if I can just get an hour or a couple hours of his time, I guarantee it'll be worth the $2,000 that I've spent. And you've done that as well.
Yes.
And so I don't want people to think that we're just making shit up here. Like, the man has actually been on a spiritual journey. He's traveled outside of his comfort zone to meet men of industry, of power, and of wisdom, and of influence, to actually question these men about these deep-seated questions that you're considering deeply for this podcast. So, and I think that needs to be written down and vocalized on record in this podcast, that this is the journey that you're taking. This is some, this, if I could summarize it in one sentence, like, this is some serious shit that you're considering. Fair
yes.
enough?
Yes. I think the road that we're considering is a dangerous road.
Oh, brother, say less.
We are talking about organization. We are talking about bringing together collective people that question the narrative, question the establishment, question the irregularities of society around us. And there are a lot of people in this world that do not want to see a movement like that build and grow.
Especially not by a chinky Asian like you?
No, not at all. But
fuck you
I feel like, yeah, fuck you too. But I feel like this is the purpose. I feel like this is what we were meant to do. I feel like this is what needs to be done. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to build out the Free Thinker Army. It's going to be a collective of people that not only question, it's going to be online independent voices that have reach, have influence, so that, number one, we can protect one another, help one another grow, help one another get back online when and if and when the bans do come. Also a way to amplify voices, amplify message. I think that's the short-term goal. I think a midterm goal would be that we were going to start getting people in office and positions of power that actually do care, that have highest levels of integrity, that we know will do the right thing on our behalf. So we will start platforming and building up potential politicians that we agree with. We will also possibly do a initiative to help someone get elected into president in 2028, which we think will do a good job and deserves and belongs there. So the mission is huge. The mission is big. It is something that we don't take lightly at all. It is something that we do need to scale. It is something that will need a lot of background work on our part. It is something that we will reach out to the community shortly for people who want to get involved, who want to help. And if you don't have the time to donate, if you want to donate some money, that's amazing too, because an effort like this will take cash. I have no interest in taking investors. I have no interest in taking people that are going to control our words, control our minds, or eventually come in and try to sell us out. Fuck them. Mm. It is something that's going to be community funded 100%. And if it excites you, if it's something that you think you can get behind, the fact that we can potentially change the course of history or go down fighting.
Oh, I just got tingles in my podgies. I love it. I got tingles in my pants. So I love hearing this. I feel like there's an echo in eternity that's beginning. There's words that are emerging in my mind. It's Matt Kim, campaign organizer. for who, I cannot say. But I just have to read this because I think this is, I think this, I really enjoyed today's podcast, Matt. I love the questions and the answers to the questions that I had. But I do want to also add this to the podcast because this is, I think this is germane and it's contextually relevant. Matt Kim, 23 hours ago on Matt Kim's X. So you want to go follow him over there. He's got 111,000 followers over there. He said this from 1 Peter 3, 13-17, starting at verse 13, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you and give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Give us your thoughts on why this was such a salient quote from 1 Peter to quote on your ex, which goes out to hundreds of thousands, millions of people.
It's the very first time that I've tweeted out, X'd out, posted out. It's the very first time I posted a Bible verse.
And that's why I'm bringing it up.
And again, I think it goes back to the idea that the more I think about why is this happening? Why do we have the platform that we have? Why have we been around the type of people that we have? Why have we been given access to so many things that it's not supposed to happen? Again, you've said this before, it's a statistical anomaly.
Yes.
This is not supposed to happen. We are just these random guys from the corner of Georgia. I am not supposed to be meeting the president. I am not supposed to be meeting people like Tucker Carlson and Andrew Tate. I am not supposed to be interviewing people like Dr. Peter McCullough. These are not supposed to happen.
Nope.
It's not. It's just not.
Not in this timeline.
I would dare you to find anyone that something like this has happened.
This is the timeline that's not supposed to happen in the multiplicity of multi-universes.
When you start a podcast or you decide that you're going to start speaking online, you have goals, you have reach goals, you have stretch goals, and you have the goals that you call impossible goals.
This motherfucker had no goals.
We are hitting goals and milestones that we did not even know we could have.
I mean, nobody wakes up and creates a podcast and says, yeah, the goal in less than a year.
I'm going to meet the president.
I'm going to be hanging out with the most influential people on the planet.
Yeah.
Like, no one wakes up and does that. Dude. No. That's crazy.
And I think there's purpose to everything.
Oh, yeah.
This is something that I've been praying about. I've been praying more recently than ever before. Mm. I want to say when we started this a year ago, I rarely prayed. Mm. Hardly ever. If ever. Mm. And throughout the year, and as we start looking for guidance, as things around us start making even less sense, it's just something I've turned to.
Do you feel like this entire enterprise of germinating and beginning the Matt Kim podcast to where we are today, do you see that journey in a new light as a full spiritual journey, not just this last couple of weeks that you've had, but you can now stretch those words out to the entirety of this experience?
Yeah, I think when we started, it was, you know, like starting a podcast is the modern day male version of, we should open a bar.
Fair enough.
Right?
We all thought about that at one time. Bro, you and I like to drink. We're good at this shit.
Yeah, we should open our own bar.
Oh, totally.
And then in recent years, people sit around the bar and goes, damn, our conversation was really funny. I wish someone recorded that. We could do a podcast.
Yeah.
We should do a podcast.
Exactly.
That's how most people start.
Exactly. The reality is just the two guys sitting in the bar still.
Yeah.
No one's listening. No one's listening.
And then I think at some point I decided that I do what I do because I wanted to be a model for my daughter. We've had this conversation before.
Absolutely.
I want my daughter to grow up as someone that questions, that doesn't believe the narrative, that sees, that is a rational thinker, a logical thinker, that is not feared to say what she thinks and believes.
Yeah.
And if I want her to live like that, I need to live like that. Mm. And I think that was kind of the first iteration and first big momentous change. Mm. Since that moment, I think as it grows and as I get inbound from other people, I realize that's not even it anymore. It's bigger than that.
Tell me more.
The number one, I get people come up and say hi to me in the street or at a mall or airport, or whatever. It happens not all the time, but
dude. Really, I get motherfuckers going to me like, oh, you know Matt Kim. Every month I'm traveling. Someone's like, oh, man, you know Matt Kim. It's like, bro, if I'm getting inbound, trust me, you're getting it. Don't downplay it. Everybody knows
that. And the most common thing, I'm going to say 9 out of 10 people that come up to me, they all say the same thing, which it's not what you expect. Mm. They all say, thank you for what you do. And every time I hear that, I'm like, what do I do?
What am I doing again?
What am I doing? I don't feel like I'm deliberately doing anything. Mm. What does that even mean?
I think if I could quickly translate, it's you have spoken into the gray, into the darkness. You've spoken into the unknown. You've spoken hard words and asked tough questions that people have in the back of their mind, but maybe aren't courageous enough to say. And so I think in a lot of ways, I think a lot of people could say that they live vicariously through you, and that you're willing to go against the grain, clearly, as evidenced by the last couple of weeks, be deplatformed, censored, which we've experienced throughout the year.
Fuck YouTube.
Right, and you're willing to fight that fight when most people would give up.
And I think a lot of people, and when I go through my DMs, a lot of people say, thank you for saying what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Thank you for putting words in a rational, logical way that's easy to consume that maybe I wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah.
And I realized that it is not just for my own personal benefit, because in the beginning it was, I wanted to teach and be a model. I wanted to be a model for my daughter. Mm-hmm. Now we are being models for society. It's bigger than that.
Yeah. And so I don't think, I think I can say it plainly that this is a God thing.
Yes.
That you are being led by emergent circumstances. You're taking the right approach. You're being discerning. You're praying about it. And I think God has a great anointing. He has a great purpose for you in this endeavor, in this project. What it's going to look like, I have no idea. But somehow, some way, at least in my life, I found that many times God will pluck you out of obscurity for a purpose. And as we talked about during lunch before the podcast, you better gird up thy loins like a man, because when God demands of thee, you shall respond. And I think what you're doing right now is responding appropriately. So we will continue for good blessings on that. Because I tell you, so many people, and we can look back at the prophets of old, their initial response is no. No, Lord. Like, not me. Like, don't do this. Like, I had a good life. I think you might be at the precipice of deciding what the next stage of your life is going to be.
Well, I think we know now. We have clarity. And I think that's really what I've been searching for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, is clarity. Hmm. Clarity in vision, clarity in where I see this going, what I think we're supposed to do. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what we're supposed to do.
Yes, and for 3 easy payments of $39.95.
And I think what we're supposed to do is start an army. And it's a very aggressive word. Mm. It's a word that some people may not like. Maybe it's a scary word to say that it's an army, but it's not a military army. There are various ways to describe what an army is. An army is a collective of people that have the same idea.
Yeah.
And we are creating an army, the Free Thinker Army. And it's not just going to be individuals. It's going to be individuals. It's going to be voices online. It's going to be people from all over the world that see the irregularities of society around us, see that there are people above us in society that are playing God with our lives, and they are not God. It is not their place to tell us how to live, what to think, what to consume. This is not their decision to make on our behalf. We didn't elect them. Mm-hmm. We did not choose them. Mm-hmm. For some reason, somehow, some way, they were put in a position of power. I don't know how they got there, but they consider us the ants of society. And the reality is there are more of us than there are them.
Yes.
And these are the types of ideas that some people may not like. The technology companies may not like. These are the type of ideas that will get you platformed. These are the type of ideas that will get the lasers in pointed at you. Apparently, lasers from the sky exist.
Apparently. I've been seeing videos of people putting a blue tarp on their houses these days. A lot more.
So, I feel like I need a blue roof.
Bro, you might be the only one. Dude, you might be the only one. Yeah, she'd probably do it. But I love this, because the clarity... Now, clarity doesn't mean that you know what you need to do.
No.
Clarity is more around a peace about the situation you're in and the future of where we're headed. And it's like, you know, for example, when a presidential campaign gets put together, the goal is become elected.
Yes.
How you get there, you can have all the plans you want in the world, but the plans are going to be emergent. And I think likewise, the Matt Kim podcast is been based on an experience and execution of emergence, which is we just roll with it. We take what we can. And I think you have been, let's just say, very responsible for the opportunities that the Lord has given you. And I think that is the right way to continue to go.
I feel like we don't know what we're doing yet. Mm. We have, I'm going to put a timeline on it. We have a month to figure it out. And in that time, I think we're going to be working diligently in the background to put some sort of organization to what we need to be, what we need to do. I think that we have a purpose, and I think with a purpose-driven endeavor, the rest of it kind of figures itself out because you have an ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal is that we actually can, as a populace, as a community, as a people, we can actually make a difference. And I believe it. I believe it 100% in my heart. And I feel like we have the opportunity to be a part of something historic. Not U.S. historic, global historic. Be a part of something that may change the course of history, world history, forever.
Oh, man.
And if that's something you want to get involved in, definitely check us out on the Discord because we'll be making our announcements there. We're still trying to figure out where to call home base. We may build out something proprietary, or we may build out something, maybe a newer technology that we've been exploring and looking into. We'll go into that maybe in next episode. But we're going to find a place where we have a community that we can build, that we know are protected, that we know we will own our own data, that we have the ability to create monetization models and protections for ourselves. So we are looking, we are in conversations, serious conversations with people that will help build that space, safe space for us. And it's working with people that we trust.
Amen. I got nothing to add to that. Everything you say is true.
I think it's going to be interesting. I think if, again, there are people that are going, bro, what does this even look like? I don't know. We don't know yet.
I have some idea.
So what we're going to do is, because at some point this has to turn into a business type of endeavor,
it
right?
Is what it is.
Because there are costs involved. There are expenditures in place. Traveling costs money. Technology costs money. Servers and et cetera cost money. We're going to need to start bringing maybe some editors and community managers and people that help, you know, we're going to need a little bit of background work.
The Freethinker Army is free to join. It's just not free to run.
Correct. So Peter is going to take charge of that. We've discussed it. He said, I don't know, maybe he's going to take charge of that. So that's something that Peter is going to do. He is much more experienced in business than I am. He understands the business world much better than I do. He understands these types of high-level meetings better than I do. I just want to talk. I don't have any interest on the organizational, operational, business side of it. I just don't. I don't feel like that's my calling in life. I just don't.
It almost sounds like a very Tucker-esque type of model.
I mean, I think you have to know where you're strong and where you're weak. Mm. And engaging with people is probably something I'm strong in. Mm-hmm. Working with community is something that I enjoy to do. Mm-hmm. Getting in conversation with people, I don't know why, but somehow like I find myself in them. As far as running a business and being organized and being numbers focused, it's definitely not my
strong suit. That's not the best. Just to be blunt, it's just not the best use of your time.
I'm just not good at it. I mean, even if I wanted to do it, like I know where I'm weak.
And so Matt Kim and the Matt Kim Freethinker Army and the Matt Kim Podcast needs your help. We will be calling on you invariably and inevitably. So we would love your support. We got a lot to go. This is 2024, baby.
I think I'm just thinking out loud. I think we make a questionnaire form. If you want to get involved and you want to help, where is your competency? Mm-hmm. What would you like to get involved in? What's your experience in? Yeah. So that we have an idea of what we have within our community that we can pull from.
I like that idea.
I think that's an interesting thought and idea.
Discord.
We'll put it up in the Discord. We'll start collecting email addresses. We'll do all the things that we're supposed to do, all the things that I've been shying away from doing for the last year. Mm. I think now that we have purpose, I know why I'm collecting them. So we'll get into that.
So I think I think for those who are out there who have skills, trade skills, designer skills, digital skills, I mean, we are a podcast. So if you think about what is a podcast or a podcast network need to grow, If you have skill sets that are applicable to that type of theme and that type of trajectory, certainly this this survey will be something that we'd love to hear from you about.
And I don't even think we're a podcast anymore. I think a podcast is one media form.
Yeah.
I think having a podcast is a part of what we do. I think the greater picture of what we do is it's much bigger than that.
Maybe we should register ourselves as a political association.
Well, something I've considered. Like a PAC. Do we want to register as maybe a nonprofit, 503C and 504C? Maybe both, so that we can endorse candidates in the future, because one allows you to endorse candidates, one lets you take in money as a tax write-off.
Yeah,
so you kind of need both.
Right.
Something I've actually talked to my CPA about.
Oh, really?
About the idea of creating nonprofit so that we can raise money but take it as donation rather than investment.
Interesting.
Because I don't want investors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's interesting. And if this is your area of competence, please let me know.
Yeah, let us know, man. If this is something you're good at doing and you want to lend a helping hand to us ignoramuses, then yeah, for sure.
Because again, the idea is not just to grow the podcast. I don't care about the podcast. I mean, I care, but I don't think it's the end goal. I just don't.
No. This is a larger play, and I don't know if you guys are smelling what we're selling, but it is. It's there are things that have been discussed between Matt and I that I'm absolutely blown away.
We are gonna mobilize, create a real movement,
man.
Do a real pushback on the establishment society, the people in charge, and we're gonna start placing. And helping place people that align with our values.
Man, I feel like we're in. You ever see Peaky Blinders?
Peaky fucking Blinders.
I feel like we're the beginning of Peaky Blinders. Because you know, he went from ragtag all the way to the highest level of politics.
And it's weird. I mean, some people may be listening going, bro, that sounds crazy.
Well,
I feel like the Blues Brothers.
We're on a mission from God.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not only that, but I mean, I was thinking about Steve Jobs. It's the ones who are crazy, right? Mm.
The craziest ideas are sometimes the best.
Yeah, it's the ones who are willing to be crazy and take those risks are the ones who change history. And I think from what you've said so far, Matt, it sounds like we are intent on changing history.
We can make a difference. Mm. I believe it 100%. I really do believe that's why we are where we are. This is what we're supposed to do. And if you buy into it, if you believe in it, join the Free Thinker Army.
If not, eat a dick.
Thank you, everyone. See you next week.